Would you turn to the book of Galatians with me? Galatians chapter 4, if you have your Bibles, Galatians chapter number 4 in the New Testament. And if you don't know where Galatians is, it's okay. Don't be embarrassed by that. None of us are born knowing where the books of the Bible are. We all have to learn. And I'm glad that you're looking if you're not sure. But in the first few pages there of your Bible, you'll see a table of contents and you'll see the book of Galatians listed. So I want to encourage you to join there with us. If you have your book form, some of you, there are free Bible apps. Bible Gateway is one. YouVersion is another. They have a verse of the day, and I usually look up those verses each morning for the day. And just because I read some other scriptures and read through as well some other devotions. But Galatians chapter 4, and we'll make our confession here in just a moment. Again, if you're listening now or joining online, I want to encourage you to go to our website if you like and check out the resource. There's on the website, there is a little daily scripture and reflection for this first week of January on our website, clmfamily.org, if you'd like to take advantage of that, clmfamily.org. Well, because of just the holidays and so forth and services, we haven't actually done this, or at least I haven't, in a little bit with you. So would you join me this morning as we make our confession together? Ready? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By its truth, I am set free. Free indeed. I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. My mind is alert, my heart is open, my spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4. Galatians 4, 4. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son. As I was reflecting on this scripture, even around Christmas, timing is important in many areas of life, isn't it? I learned over the years that timing can be important in a recipe. Making like 200-300 quarts of Brunswick stew, I learned that you can put salt in too early because the potatoes absorb it, and it's like you didn't put any in. Something's kind of simple. Timing can be important in sports. Maybe when the coach calls a timeout, or in baseball, the manager can leave the pitcher in one pitch too long, and it costs him the game. Timing is important in medications, isn't it? Certain medications you have to space out, or you're not to take them with other type medications. I think we can relate to this one. The timing of our words can be very important in it. That our timing can be the difference between a barren word and what the Bible calls a word in season. Here the scripture says, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son. See, Jesus was born at God's divinely appointed time, and God had orchestrated events so that the world system and the world scene was such that Jesus could come in, fulfill the prophecies that had been given over the centuries and millennia. And not only that, Jesus would fulfill his mission to redeem humanity, to rescue humanity from sin and death. It was also the right time that 50 days after his resurrection, the church, this band of followers of Jesus, could begin and flourish. And here we are today, 2,000 years later, on the other side of the planet, because God worked out the timing. So here's the message today. Real simple, but I believe it's a powerful truth. Trust God's timing. Trust God's timing. For those of you, if you weren't here earlier in the service, we were having little praises. Sister Pam shared about being patient and yet being faithful and persevering and going with the Lord. And boy, our culture promotes instant gratification, doesn't it? I mean, let's be real. We may be impatient even with God. See, we can believe God for something. We can pray for a promise, some truth of God's word that really is, it's His will, it's His Spirit, and it's under the leading of His Holy Spirit. It's in accordance with His word that is written for us. But so many times in life, it's like seed time and harvest. Now, when the answer comes immediately, that's typically a miracle. But often, like seed time and harvest, we must generally wait for God's timing for whatever it is we're waiting for to be fulfilled, even if it is God's will. And this is what I've learned, I think, over the years, is how we wait may determine the blessings we receive while we wait. May I say that again? How we wait may determine the blessings we receive while we wait. Trust God's timing. Would you turn to someone next to you and just tell them, trust God's timing? Let me read you a couple verses if you want to write them down. You can stay right there in Galatians. We'll come back. I'll join you. But let me give you just a couple verses from Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 25, it says this. Romans 8, 25, but if we hope for what we do not see, and please notice, it says we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. So there is an eagerness in our waiting, but there's also a perseverance. We're sticking with this. We're not just putting God on a limited time frame and say, you got to move when I want you to, or that's it. No, we eagerly wait with perseverance. And then notice verses 26 and 27 says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. We don't always know how to pray for a situation, do we? Our heart can be in the right place. That's why I said we can pray and we can seek God and really might be God's will, but we don't see the full picture as God does. But when we pray, God knows, and that's why He says His Holy Spirit will help us in our weaknesses, because the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Verse 27, now He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Here is we have such a very limited perspective, don't we? We can only see temporarily at the moment. God sees the full picture. God has the eternal perspective in view. So He's not just up in heaven kind of twiddling His thumbs, just making us bear it out. No, that's not God's heart at all. In fact, let me read you one more verse there in Romans 8. I love this scripture, Romans 8, 32. I try to make this my anchor, our default. When something happens in my life that I would consider this is bad, it's bad news, it's tragedy, it's trying, I come back to this scripture, Romans 8, 32. He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? If God loved us enough to sacrifice His own sinless Son in our behalf so that we could be forgiven and have His Spirit in us and be with Him forever, He's not out to hurt us. And that's the basis of trusting God's timing. If we know and trust God, we can trust His word, we can trust His love, and we can trust His power. If I trust Him, if I trust His word, if I trust His love for me as demonstrated by Jesus on the cross, and I trust that He is all powerful and there's nothing too hard for Him, then I can trust God's timing. So this morning, I'd like to share two areas I believe we can trust God in. I'll focus mainly on the one, but they're both important. So here they are. Trust God's timing first in preparation. Trust God's timing in preparation. And if you're still there in Galatians, I'll read just a few verses here in chapter 1. Trust God's timing. Trust God's timing in preparation. The Bible says this in Galatians chapter 1, verse 13. For you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. Verse 14, and I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the tradition of my fathers. Let me pause there just a second. Paul was trained by one of the most respected rabbis in Judaism to this day. His name was Gamaliel. And he, in his religious zeal, persecuted followers of Jesus to the point he tried to compel them to blaspheme the name of God, to basically curse Jesus. But thank God, the Bible says in verse 15, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood. This is very important. Verse 17, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then, after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter. You see, when Paul became a follower of Jesus, he didn't immediately start preaching and become an apostle. Now, we can start serving the Lord and testifying of his salvation the moment we become saved. As soon as we become a Christian, we can start serving the Lord in some capacity. We can start telling people about Jesus and what he did for us and how he forgave our sins. But leadership must be tested first. And people can do it maybe with good intentions, but sometimes we can set a person up in leadership before there is that time of growth and testing and unintentionally set them up to fall. So we can start serving, but again, leadership is to be tested. Paul, God sent Paul out for 3 years, and the Bible doesn't really say much of anything about this three-year period other than that Paul was with the Lord. Some think he stayed out in the desert of Arabia that 3 years. We don't know that for sure. But I'm sure that whatever it was, that God was working in him, preparing him for the right time to send him back to begin his ministry as an apostle. You see how they're trusting God's timing in the preparation? So God, he probably had a lot of unlearning to do. What he thought he was serving God turned out he was fighting Jesus. So he had to probably renew his mind in a lot of areas and see the scriptures in a new light. And the scriptures of the Old Testament, he began to see, this is speaking about Jesus. He really is the Messiah. So when he went back and started that ministry, he was ready to give his life. He was ready to start churches. He was ready to face everything he did because of God's timing and working in his life. Let me give you just a couple of other examples if you want to just write these down. I love Joseph in the Bible. I just thank God for his faithfulness to the Lord. Let me read this scripture to you. If you want to write it down, it's Genesis chapter 41. Genesis chapter 41, just speaking of trusting God's timing. I'll begin reading verse 38, just a few verses here. Genesis 41, 38. It says, and Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom is the Spirit of God? Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning and wise as you. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall be ruled according to your word. Joseph was put in power over a world kingdom. So he goes on, he says, again, still verse 40, he says, all my people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regard to the throne will I be greater than you. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. And one more verse, verse 46. Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Does anyone remember how old he was when he went to Egypt? You probably heard it. He was 17 years old. Now, at age 17, how many of you believe he was ready to rule the world? Probably not. Telling his brothers, y'all gonna bow down to me. And even though that was true, maybe it had a little edge on it, I don't know. He was dad's favorite as it was anyway. How many of you are familiar with a little bit of what Joseph went through for 13 years? God, Joseph was faithful to God through envy, through hatred, through trafficking. His own brothers sold him as a... He was faithful to God in slavery. He was faithful to God in temptations daily. When it looked like humanly, he could have probably gotten away with that temptation if he chose, but he was thinking about God. He was in prison for a crime he didn't commit and stayed there for years. And then he met someone in the prison who could have set him free, and the man forgot him for 2 years. So here he is at 30, and all of a sudden someone opens the prison door, and he comes in and says, get cleaned up, Pharaoh wants to see you. You see God's timing? At God's time, Joseph was ready, and he was a wise and good leader, and he saved many lives under his leadership. Trust God's timing. Would you say that with me? Trust God's timing. This is an important truth. Our preparation can affect our promotion. I'll say that again. Our preparation can affect our promotion. So God is working in us even as we're maybe anticipating some promotion or some event in our lives. So we trust God's timing. Now we're to do our part. Joseph did his part. He had a right attitude. He was faithful to God through it all. Then God opened the door when the time was right, so that not only was it good for Joseph, it was good for many, and God still getting the glory out of it. Two more real quick. Let me just give you this scripture if you want to write it down from the book of Esther. Esther chapter 4. Esther united her people, the Jewish people, in fasting for 3 days to prepare herself to go to the king to plead for their lives. She could have been executed to come into the presence of the king unannounced or uninvited. But she risked her life because of God's timing. But she knew she had to prepare. This wasn't something to be taken lightly. She fasted for 3 days. And this is what the Bible says in Esther chapter 4, verse 14. For if you remain completely silent at this time, this is her uncle speaking these words to Esther, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? I can say, based on the New Testament scripture in Acts 17, we have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. We are here by God's divine appointment. In this place, in this generation, we have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Verse 15, and Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, go, gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan, it was a citadel there, and fast for me, neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will fast likewise, and I will go to the king, which is against the law, and if I perish, I perish. But what did God do? He gave Esther favor. Not only did he give Esther favor, he completely turned it around in such a way that all of those who wanted to exterminate the Jewish people, the ones who wanted to kill them, it came back and they ended up paying the price themselves. God could turn a situation around just like that. But do you see how God was working in the timing of it to orchestrate? It was the perfect timing even of this man, Haman, who hated the Jews, to go to the king. So God intervened. And then one more, Noah, in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, we read these words, verses 6 and 7. very familiar scripture, Hebrews chapter 11, verse scripture says, without faith, it is possible to please God. But we can please God, we just have to believe him. So it says, without faith, it is impossible to believe God or to please God, for he who comes to God must believe that not only he exists, but that he is a rewarder of those who, notice, diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household. See the preparation there? Some say it may have taken 120 years. I don't know that that's something we can say for sure, but it certainly took a while for him to build and prepare for that time. But he prepared an ark for the saving of his household, his family. So here, see, this is an important truth. Trust is revealed by obedience. I can say I trust God, but if I'm not doing what he says, I don't really trust him. I have kind of a generic trust maybe, but the specific trust is if I trust God in this area of my life and I trust him with his timing, then I'm going to be obedient until he opens that door and brings the timing to pass. So trust is revealed by obedience. In this case, Noah's obedient preparation saved his family. So others can be affected by our obedience as well. Let me just read this verse to you. It's 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 21, if you want to write it down. 2 Timothy 2:21. In the Christian Standard Bible, it says, so if anyone purifies himself from anything dishonorable, he will be a special instrument set apart, useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Brothers and sisters, we're not waiting to serve God. We're to live by God's word. So we pray, we worship, we fellowship, we seek God, and we do his will so that we grow in Christ, so that we're fruitful while we wait. It's not just, well, I'm waiting on God to do something. No, we have a part to fulfill in seeking God and pursuing him and his will to help bring about those events. I like to think of it like this. Don't push. I've got to force. I'm the one in control here. I've got to make it happen on my time frame. I've got to get this person to do what I want them to do when I want them to do it. So we don't push, because that can cause some problems. But we don't procrastinate either. We're not putting off. We're avoiding both extremes. We're doing what the Lord would have us to do. And then we trust God's timing to fulfill his will. So we're useful now, and then the scripture says we're prepared for every good work. Don't you know that if we're serving God, growing in Christ's likeness right now, that he will not only use us now, but he will prepare us for further ministry. There may be other people, there may be other ministries, other areas where the Lord will expand our borders, so to speak, but let's be faithful where we are and then trust him to do it. Let's do our part. Trust God's timing. Would you say it with me? Trust God's timing. So we trust him, first of all, in preparation, and then finally also in redemption. Trust God's timing in preparation. He's preparing me for something. He's working in me, but he's working through me. And then to trust God's timing in redemption. I want to go back to that scripture in Galatians, where we started, Galatians chapter 4, and read that once again. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4, the Bible says this, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. Why? Verse 5, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. God gave us a degree of free will, but we're not running this show. God is actively involved and orchestrating events to accomplish his ultimate purpose of redemption. That's the heart of God. It's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross. He took our punishment. He bore the judgment of hell in our place so that we could be forgiven and made righteous by his blood in the eyes of a holy God. So God is, I like the illustration of an airplane. Recently, the three of us took a weekend off, 2 weeks ago, I guess it was, We left on a Friday, came back on a Sunday, but we flew to New York, just had a little time together, celebrate anniversary and birthday. And on the flight, they came around and said, we'll be offering our complimentary beverages. And so you had choice of water, coffee. I think it was maybe some type of, I'll say Coke or something. I don't know what it was. All right. So then we had a little water and we had complimentary snacks. We had a choice of Sun Chips or almonds. And to think that we are kind of running the world and so forth would be as silly as me thinking, I'm running this show. Give me a cup of water and some almonds. I wasn't running. I just had my little part. But there was someone in the cockpit who was taking the plane in a desired direction. And we can look at all the world mess and all this mess. I'm not saying it's all God's will. Lord knows it's not. That's why we're to pray for God's will. But never think that God has just completely taken his hands off and this world is out of control. In all the bad and evil, God is directing this world system. He will even use the ungodly to accomplish his will if he has to. But he's taken this course in this world into a direction, getting ready just like the first time to have the Jesus Christ come back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords and run this world as it really should be. But let's trust God's timing in the process. That's why the scripture says in Romans 8:28, familiar scripture for many of us, Romans 8:28, the Bible says, and we know that all things work together for good. Not that all things are good. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. God is working to conform us to the image of his Son. And God is working in the world to draw people to himself. See, that's where we can't see the full picture. So we really have to trust God's word, his love, his power, and trust God's timing. If I'm in a situation that I would rather not be in, and God has allowed it for a reason, he's working something in me to help me grow in Christ's likeness, but he may be also working something through and around me that someone is going to come to Jesus through it all. Do you see how important that is to trust God's timing? Someone said, I'd give him the credit if I knew who it was. I don't remember. I don't know who it was. Someone said, often what God does in us while we're waiting is more important than the thing we're waiting for. Often what God does in us while we're waiting is more important than the thing we're waiting for God for. What are you waiting on God for this morning? Are you pursuing him, though? Are you seeking him and seeking his will? If you allow me, without you getting mad at me, let me ask it this way. Is God waiting on you? Is God waiting on you to pursue him more, to seek him more, to get closer to him, to submit to him more, to seek his will? Then let's do our part and trust God's timing. Fruit takes time to grow. Weeds come up quick, but fruit takes time to grow. Let me give you this last scripture, Galatians chapter 5. Think about what fruit of Christ's likeness maybe God is wanting to produce in us right now, in you, in me. Galatians 5:22, we'll close with this. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Maybe God is wanting me to be more loving, so he's allowing me to be in this situation, in this setting. Maybe he wants me to be more joyful in spite of my circumstances. Maybe he wants me to have more peace even in the midst of mess. Long-suffering, that word is also patient. Maybe God wants me to be more patient, and he's working it in me through these circumstances and events. Long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. Maybe I need more self-control in an area of my life. And God knows when to work it out so that the situation changes. But first, maybe it's me that needs to change. Trust God's timing. The fruit of Christ-likeness takes time to grow. Please think about that. What area of those characteristics of the fruit of Christ, what would you say just between you and the Lord, God is working in you right now? He's wanting you to grow in. Then all I say is, let's abide in Jesus and trust God's timing. Can we do that? Abide in Jesus and trust God's timing. Let's stand as we close in prayer, and then we'll prepare for communion. Father, just want to thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth and your love and grace. Thank you for your goodness. Would you just take a moment right now and say, Lord, from your own heart, say, Lord, work in me your will. Help me to grow more like you. Help me to trust you. I know you're good. You are faithful. Use me for your glory and honor. Just with our heads bowed and eyes closed, if you would say, Brother Rocky, I'm in a season right now, and I need prayer just to trust God's timing. It's been tough. I'm ready to move on, but I just want prayer. I just want to come into agreement. Help me. I want to trust God's timing and his love and power in my life. Is there anyone who would ask for prayer? Would you just slip up your hand right there where you are? Wow, thank God. Thank you so much. Lord, bless you all over this sanctuary. You can put your hands down. Well, thank God for, Lord, here I am, and here we are. Lord, we're not going to come with negativity and just being downcast to say we're going to trust your timing. We're coming with confidence in your power, in your goodness and love, and know that you are sovereign and there is nothing too hard for you. So, Lord, I pray even right now in every one of my brothers and sisters' lives, Lord, we just want to trust you. Give us, Lord, an encouragement, Lord, that's going to help us not only endure and persevere, but do it with joy and have an attitude, Lord, even like Joseph, to say, you are with me and I thank you, Lord, for it. And I believe you're going to use me and use this for your glory and honor. So I trust you in Jesus' name.